Welcome, foolish mortals.
Time to be turning around.
If only you could.
Cause this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Henry, what's holding you up? Let's get on with the show. We can't hang around here all day.
Ladies and gents, this is the moment you've waited for.
There's no turning back now.
This is the greatest show.
Now it's time for the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with your hosts, Michael Hurley and Gary Aruda.
That's right, this is the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast, episode number 325, recorded from the D. Fauntleroy Studios in Kent County, Rhode Island, in sunny Southwest Florida. I'm your host, Gary, joined as always by my co-host and my cousin down in Florida, Mike. How are you doing today, Michael?
I'm doing all right, Mr. Clinton.
Do you laugh when I say Kent County now?
Yeah.
I almost started breaking out laughing just then. It sounds so stupid, isn't it?
It's dumb.
I mean, it's already stupid how we say all that. But
well, you got to let people know where you're coming from.
That's true. You do like to know that when you're listening to a podcast. Where is this idiot from? Oh, Missouri. Yeah. Oh, you know, Montana. Not a lot of Montana podcasters out there, I've noticed.
Not that I listen to.
That's true. I'm sure there's some good ones.
I'm sure there's some that Doug and Mike listen to. Billing, Montana.
Yeah, that's true. This is the Billings Report. That's a good name, isn't it? Billings, though? You like that?
Yeah,
that town?
Williamings. Yeah.
Williamings. What's new? How you doing?
I'm doing well.
That's good. Did you play golf?
Not yet. I just got the push cart. I'll send you some pictures.
Oh, yeah? How is it? Very nerdy?
Yeah, it's beautiful. Kristen's coworker dropped it off.
Yeah, you were saying that. So the push cart thing, you don't need it, like, you'd rather carry, but you just know you're going to need reinforcements. Like, you want your sunscreen and your waters and things
you
like
that.
You
know what? More than ever, I need it for, like, my water and my Gatorades.
Right. Especially if you're walking, yeah.
Yeah, to put, like, my big tour bag on there.
Well, I mean, you have a bag you could use as a backup.
Yeah, I have a carry bag, but I'm just saying I can't fit all that stuff in there.
Right. Is this one of the push carts that has like the little net on the bottom so you could put a bunch of junk down there too, or no?
No, it doesn't have a ton of storage.
No, so you just stuff it in the bag, which is fine.
Yeah.
That's good. So you got...
But I'm going to... When they're out of stock or back in stock, I'm going to get another one because you need two because I'm going to get Kristen into golfing.
You need two push carts is what you're telling me?
Well, one for me and one for Kristen. Okay. And then it's not going to hurt to have a backup.
I guess. Yeah, sure.
So, like, if my cousin wants to play, because he said he'll walk, but he doesn't want to lug his bag. So, I'm like, all right, fine. The day that we play, you can use the push cart, and I'll just carry
it. Yeah, right. Are you excited about playing the new place?
Yeah, I am.
Do you get your bag tag yet?
No, I haven't gotten anything yet, That's true.
It's official now, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
When?
Yeah.
Like, end of October?
Yeah, through the end of October.
It's not bad.
No, it's pretty good.
It's not bad at all. What else is
They don't have deals like that, unfortunately, in Rhode Island.
No, I mean, you could...
This is your busy season.
Yeah, I was going to say, join somewhere from, what, November to February? It might not be the best investment, even if it is cheap.
So what have you been up to, Billy?
No, I'm trying to get my pool ready.
Oh, jeez.
And I've never done that before, so I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, Frankie used to do it. Did he come over and help you?
Yeah, he helped a little bit. We were trying to take the cover off, and that didn't go well.
Why? What was it? Just tied like a messy tie?
No, we got it all to the end, but there was so much stuff in it, we couldn't get like the stuff out, and it was too heavy to like lift out. And then we were like pumping it out, and then we tried to lift it out, and then like the side of it blew open, so all the crap got in the pool. Anyway, after all that,
so you had to fill it because you. What do you get? What are they? Empty it to like halfway when it freezes up.
Yeah, so I've been filling it after work the last few nights, so I'm almost where I need to be. It should be tomorrow where it needs to be. I went to the pool store today, and they kind of talked me through everything, gave me the chemicals, so I got to get the...
All right, so tell me about it. What do you have to do?
I'm doing this like three-step system. They
give me the how many gallons do you have? Do you know?
It's a 24-foot pool. You know, so 4 foot. I don't know. I can't do the. I think it's like 20,000 gallons or something like that. 15,000.
No, it's not because mine's 14,000.
Let's see, how many gallons? Gallons are in a 24-foot round pool. 13,593, according to the Google.
I find it hard to believe that an above ground pool would have.
And that's using 3 feet for the average depth, which it should be a little more than that, I believe.
Maybe though, because you're 24 by 24, where I'm it's round, 30 yeah. by 16.
Yeah, so it's saying in a 24-foot round, 4 foot high pool, there's almost 14,000 gallons.
Okay.
According to this.
So what, all right, so talk to me about the three step.
So they have, I had the paperwork, I left it in the garage, but there's like, you pick your pool day, whatever day you do, once a week they say you should do it.
Okay.
And there's these chlorine like sticks that you put in the skimmer basket thing. So it gets filtered through.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do the shock and the algicide, and you just do that once a week.
Okay.
And that's it.
But you're not going to have to shock it once a week.
Yeah, you do the shock every week, I guess.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I guess that you use less chlorine with that. So, yeah, so I got the... It says I have to shock it once a week and put the tabs in, and then the algicide. So, we'll see how it goes. So I got to get it going. They gave me the initial shock and the algicide to do once I get the filter up and running. And then I bring in a water sample after it's run for like 2 or 3 days. And then they're going to tell me exactly what I need for like my initial stuff. And then go through for the whole kind of the whole season what I'll need.
Okay.
So I went to...
Because I'm sure like once your water's to where it needs to be, then they'll just tell you what you need to do to maintain.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what they're saying.
That's what I'm saying. Like, on a week-to-week, I don't think you'll have to shock.
Maybe not. I'll see. They gave me the three-step system, and that's what it says you have to do, but I that could be wrong. However, I will say that the place I went to, just like a small little... I didn't go to, like, one of the big chain pool places.
Uh-huh.
And they were very nice. They had a pool set up outside, so they could kind of show you everything.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's what I've been up to. So hopefully in the next... I think... By the time I get everything going, it shouldn't be more than about a week to get everything where it needs to be.
Damn, what's your water temperature going
to
be?
Probably cold. I need to get a solar cover. I got to figure that out, too. We were talking about that. They said on average, the solar covers raise the temperature about 12 degrees.
Yeah, you're going to need one of those.
That would be helpful.
Because I don't see it getting above like 71, 72.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, with a solar, it probably will, but like when we were kids and we swam, I mean, we swam in cold water.
It was always
we
cold.
Didn't know it because we were living up there.
Yeah, and you just get used to it. As soon as you jump in, it's cold, and then you get used to it after 5 minutes. What else should we talk about, sir?
Beer of the week.
You talk about my unofficial beer sponsor of the week?
Sure.
All right, this one is from Appanog Brewing Company out of Warwick, Rhode Island.
Warwick, Rhode Island.
This is about a 2-minute walk from my house, this place. Maybe a little more. Probably a 12-minute walk. Very close. It's right on the Patuxent River. You know that hotel we went to after Catherine's wedding?
Yeah.
It's in that hotel. It's like on the other side in that mill building. There's a brewery and restaurant. So,
you're really depressing me now when you're telling me about the location. Anyways, the beer, go
it's
ahead.
It's called the Flow Control Blonde Ale. It's a 5.3 alcohol by volume. Flow Control Blonde Ale. One sip, everyone knows the rules. This beer smells like beer. You would probably like this one. Super light, mild aroma, subtle grainy sweetness, little to no hop bitterness with a slight herbal finish. Some fruity esters from the ale yeast, yet this beer, with time, tends to behave closer to an American light lager the longer it ages. So an American light lager would be something like Budweiser Light. So one sip, everybody knows the rules. It's good. It does remind me of, it actually reminds me of, like, a Narragansett, which is one of my favorites. So, that being said, I do like this beer. Mm. One sip, everybody knows the rules. You know what? The high temperature tomorrow is going to be 80 degrees, so I'm going to give this an 8.0.
Oh!
I know that's that could be construed as an amateur score, but I have my reasons for it.
8.0.
The flow control from Appanag Brewery. Very good. You would probably like this one. This would be one of the few yuppie beers you would drink, I think.
Where I'd tolerate it if I was at one of those yuppie places and I couldn't get myself a regular Bud Light.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yep. Anything else you want to add here? Should we take our break?
Let's take our first break, Billy.
What the f***? Carmella!
What?
There's no water in the pool.
Yeah, I had it drained. The electricity costs a fortune. I can't afford that. You're the only one who uses it.
I thought we were getting along better lately.
So, you polluted all the decent lawyers in New Jersey so they can't represent me? You couldn't even play fair.
I'm not the one who wanted it!
Okay, so let's just pretend that you weren't begging for it in a million different ways, okay? Because I am worn out here.
All right, we are back from break, and we're about to get into some more news. So last week, we talked a little bit about what we knew about the reopening of Central Florida, more or less. We had the Disney Springs. We talked a little bit about Universal and the NBA, but we got the big news this week. So Disney was a little late coming out with their news. I think they had to refigure what they wanted to do, or they were still trying to get all their ducks in a row, so to speak. So they came out this week with a lot more information, but not that much information, really, if you want to break it down. But we got a date, at least. So let's, I guess we should just start with that. Anyone listening to this, I'm sure, knows, but they're going to have a phased reopening beginning on when? July 11th. Now, what, just initial thoughts when you saw the date, what did you think?
I didn't really think anything of it. Why?
No, I just didn't know if you were expecting it to be sooner or later, or is that right? I figured it was going to be right around 4th of July, so it didn't really surprise me.
Yeah, I thought it would have been a little sooner.
I was thinking like a week sooner, but at this point, you know, what difference does it make, I guess? So, it just basically says they're pleased to share that they submitted the proposal to the Orange County Economic Recovery Task Force in Florida, describing their approach for a phased reopening of Walt Disney World Resort theme parks, planned to begin on July 11th. Pending Orange County and state approval, the plans for Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom to open to the general, was a phased reopening to the general public on July 11th, followed by Epcot and Hollywood Studios on July 15th. In preparing to reopen, they have to manage their theme parks in a very different way. Blah, 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 bringing in cast members. The phased reopening will demonstrate a deliberate approach with limits on attendance and controlled guest density that aligns with guidance on physical distancing. That means certain experiences, such as parades, nighttime spectaculars, will return at a later date. In addition, high-touch experiences such as makeover opportunities, playgrounds, and character meet-and-greets will remain temporarily unavailable, but characters will still be in our parks to entertain and delight our guests. They will manage attendance through a new theme park reservation system that will require all guests to obtain a reservation for park entry in advance. They're temporarily pausing new ticket sales and hotel reservations, so they could focus on guests with existing tickets and reservations. They note that DVC members can still make new reservations. Existing ticket holders and AP holders will be able to make reservation requests in phases before new tickets are sold. They'll be reaching out to these guests soon to provide additional details. Have you had anybody reach out to you yet?
No.
Okay. Additionally, the resorts at Walt Disney World will reopen to members and guests. The DVC resorts will begin to reopen on June 22nd. Disney Vacation Club resorts at Vero Beach and Hilton Head will also begin on June 15th. Blah, blah, blah. More information there. So, just looking at that, you know, no fireworks, no parades. That, I get it. And I think, like you said, it doesn't sound like it would be really worth booking a vacation, which they're not letting you right now. But if you could, like, why would you go in this with these caveats on there, spend the money? Mm-hmm. I guess if you're a local or AP, which I think they're going to be relying a lot on that. I could see just kind of to check it out. But even that, I don't know. Like, I think the biggest thing is the mask, which they're going to make people wear, which I understand why they're doing that. And I don't have a problem wearing a mask, you know, day to day. Most people are wearing them around here. We talked about that last week, I believe.
Yep.
I know it's a little different. Not as many down where you are wearing them, from what I've heard. What you said, anyway.
No, I was at Publix today, and it's still about maybe 30%.
So that being said, I think that's kind of a non-starter for me to be wear a mask at Disney World. It just would take me so far out of it. I don't think I could do it. Are you going to wait until that, or are you going to just play it by ear?
I'm going to play it by
ear. I know you don't want to go and have to wear a mask when you're there, just because, probably the same reasons, right?
Yeah.
You're just not going to feel, like, you go there to escape from everything.
Correct.
And that's kind of how I feel as well. So if you go there and you have to wear a mask, and everyone else is wearing a mask, it doesn't feel like you're escaping from anything. I think it'll feel very different.
Well, plus they're going to have the social distance police on hand too.
Yeah, they're cast members. They're making new roles for some cast members.
Excuse me, I measured you at 5'7". Could you give another 5 inches, please, Pods?
It's probably good that they're doing that because it's taking it out of the guests' hands. Because you know, people, you turn around. Oh, you're a little too close to me. You know, that's gonna start a nice discussion.
You know what it feels like for me? Being in school. And I don't go to Epcot to feel like I'm being in school.
No, I understand that. But I think right now they're doing what they think is best for what's going on. I guess. I don't know. It stinks just overall, as we said. It's just kind of depressing to talk about, but
they just didn't say anything.
No, they didn't really. Now, they released another update not long after. I don't know if you saw this one. It says an update on Walt Disney World Resort reservations. New ticket sales and hotel reservations. At this time, we are temporarily pausing new ticket sales and Disney Resort hotel reservations so we could focus on guests with existing tickets. They talked about that already. They said they're going to manage attendance through a new theme park reservation system on DisneyWorld.com. We talked about that. And then the dining, things like that. I don't know. It says there's an update, but there's not really anything updated except that they are going to not do fast passes. Yeah, no fast passes.
And they're canceling existing fast passes.
Right, if they don't have them, I guess that makes sense.
Because I guess they want to use both queues to keep people distanced.
That makes sense. I get that. And then no extra magic hours, apparently. They're going to be temporarily suspended. Which also kind of makes sense because there's going to be so few people there, comparatively, that you don't really need the extra time to do extra stuff,
right,
in theory. And there's not going to be as much stuff to do. The dining one is a little interesting. It says, in order to foster physical distancing during this time upon reopening, our offerings, restaurants, and other experiences such as behind-the-scenes tours will be limited in capacity, and other experiences may remain closed. As a result of limited capacity, they've made the difficult decision to cancel all existing dining reservations and experience bookings, including Disney dining plans, including packages. They will reopen dining and experience bookings with more limited numbers closer to when the parks reopen. And they will also shift from a 180-day booking window to a 60-day booking window for dining and experience bookings going forward to allow guests to make their plans closer to their visits. So that's interesting. They're just kind of throwing a lot of stuff out the window. I understand kind of just starting fresh with everything because they're trying to figure out, you know, who's going to be there and what they need to do.
And
I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't really get too frustrated if I lost my Rise of the Resistance Fast Pass or something. If I was still going, if I wanted to still go. I think it would be a little easier to get on that ride, potentially. I just think it's going to stink because, like, think of the stuff that you and I like to do at Epcot. They're probably not going to have the movies. Like, you think they're going to have Impressions de France where people are, like, all inside the theater, yeah, right. You know?
Nope.
And then, like, you know, the test track will be open and Soarin' will be open every other seat or every third seat or whatever they end up doing for that. But it's just going to be like all the little things that we really enjoy. That's what they're eliminating.
It's right.
It's going to be all rides. Which, I granted, most people go for that. That's their bread and butter. I understand that. But it's the other little things that make it so good that you want to go to experience year after year and, you know, time after time, that for now I understand why they have to eliminate that, but it holds very little appeal to me to want to go there in the first stage of this reopening.
Or the second or third stage.
Well, who knows? They don't really have the stages yet. I think they're just going to take it. But like, until things return to whatever normal will be, I don't know that I'm going to want to spend the money to go, especially as someone that has to travel there and drop a lot of money to go.
Right.
As an AP local like you, I'd still, personally, I would hold off initially for a while, but I'd eventually probably go and just check it out and see once things kind of
I wonder how they're going to handle all that, though.
I have no idea, because when are they going to just decide that you don't have to wear masks? When there's a vaccine that may never come? When there's...
Well, I don't know. I'm saying, how are they going to handle ticketing and APs?
Well, you got to go to the online. So if you already have an AP, you can still reserve, but you have to reserve a day that you're going and which park you're going to. So you can't just drive up and scan your magic band
right.
and go.
So that's why I think they'll keep APs suspended like they have.
Oh, well, I wonder if they will only restart it if you go. Right, because they suspend...
That I don't know, but I'll be damned if all of a sudden, you know...
Yeah, on July, now all of a sudden
July,
your ticket starts...
July 11th, I get whacked my $120.
Yeah. I think they're going to...
Because they didn't even tell you what the limit is.
Yeah, I think they're going to tread very lightly on that kind of stuff.
Okay, so is it 20%, 25%, 50%?
I think they said it's going to be around 30, is what I heard.
30.
And if they only have two parks open, I mean, that's a tiny, tiny amount. It's going to be hard to get, you know, people are going to want to go just to see what it's like initially.
And you're going to have to get a ticket for an individual park, which means no park hopping.
I wonder if they're going to let you park hop. I don't know. That would be interesting.
Don't think
probably
so.
Probably not. You're probably right.
No, they're not. Because what, so they sell 30% to Magic Kingdom and then 10% of us want to go to Epcot? Now Epcot's at 40%?
Yeah. I wonder if they'll be able to, like, no capacity. Like, I wonder if it's going to be so limited where they're not going to reach their capacity levels that they have set out that they'll be able to allow it or not. Or do you think it's just going to sell out every day the whole way through?
That I don't know, because, like, you know, if you think about it, what is 100%? We don't know what 100% is. 100% is Christmas Day.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, 100%. We haven't been there on 100%.
So a day like tomorrow, a Saturday in the summer, it might only be a 65% capacity on a given Saturday.
Even if it's 70, to do half that, that's still a lot of people.
That's still a lot of people.
But it's also a lot that can't go. If you think about, like, what do they say the capacity of Magic Kingdom? Like 100,000?
No. I don't think so.
I thought it was around 100,000.
So. No.
Let me see if I could Google that, if there's an answer.
Yeah, I don't
think.
I want to say it's in the 30s to maybe 40.
See, I thought they said, yeah, it says the Magic Kingdom can allegedly hold more than 100,000 guests.
Okay, I'm way off.
Because I remember when we were at Animal Kingdom on the gentleman's trip.
Yeah, Jeff!
We asked, when we were getting a beer, we asked the cast member, because it wasn't busy that day, and I think she said there's only 30,000 that got through the gate today. That's a slow day for us. At Animal Kingdom.
Oh, okay.
For some reason, that's sticking in my head. So, I don't know. Yeah, but that's what I found on a quick Google of the 100,000. So, still 30,000 people is a lot of people.
Yeah, sure is.
To go at each park. I mean, other parks are going to have a little less, but Animal Kingdom might have more. You know what I mean? So, when all four parks are open, that still could be over, you know, 100, 120,000 people going to the parks.
Mm-hmm.
Still a lot of people. I wonder if it'll fill up when the way people aren't going to travel as much, obviously. Locals will go. People within driving distance, maybe. But I don't think the flights are going to be booked, like packed full coming out of the Northeast anytime soon, at least.
No.
Maybe other parts of the country where they're just dying to do stuff and they're not experiencing it the same way the Northeast is because of weather and population density and things like that. So it'll definitely be interesting. You sent me a couple other links, which I did not look at, but I think we basically summed them up in what we were talking about, right? Was there anything on either of those articles that you want to...
One of them actually, I think, showed the specific results, resorts, which ones were opening up.
Okay. The short answer is no. So, yeah, it says, are the resorts open? Says the
So all the DVCs are opening, as well as Fort Wilderness.
Right.
And Vero Beach and Hilton Head.
Which Fort Wilderness is a weird one to me. I see it both ways because people like mostly bring their own stuff, their own campers and things like that. So I can understand that aspect. But isn't that more of a communal resort where people like if you're tent camping, aren't you using like a communal bathroom instead of like the single bathroom in your...
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a weird one that they would reopen. But it's also very big, it's spread out, so I don't know if maybe that's part of it. But no other resorts are opening. And I wonder if any of that has to do with the potential NBA thing, if they're going to use some of the other resorts for that, which I haven't heard much on that since the initial rumors.
Haven't heard a thing about that.
Which is interesting. So, yeah, June 22nd, Wilderness Lodge, Animal Kingdom Lodge, Saratoga Springs, Old Key West, Riviera, Beach Club, Boardwalk, Bay Lake, Polynesian, Grand Floridian, and Fort Wilderness. Although Yacht Club's not on there, which is weird. I wonder if that just got omitted by accident.
Or if they're just trying to consolidate.
Yeah, maybe. But then again, like we said, the Fast Pass and all the reservations and stuff going away. You know, for people like you and I, that's not a big deal. I mean, you don't usually make Fast Passes or reservations before the day of anyway, so you don't really care about the window being down from 180 to 60 on,
right,
like, dining and Fast Pass. You're not even...
Mine's usually like, hey, I can get Yachtsman tomorrow at 8
right,
o'clock.
Exactly.
You want me to book it? Okay.
But I do... it is going to force you... depending on how long they make you do an advance reservation to get in the parks, it's going to change the way you do it because you go up on a...
It's
going to
completely change the way I do it. That's why I'm thinking about not doing it.
Right.
Because I'm not a planner.
Right, and you go on and you get an itch to go, and then it says, sorry, Epcot's sold out today. You can go to Hollywood
Correct.
Studios, and you're like, oh, forget that. I'm not driving an hour and a half. You know?
Mine's a thing where I'm like, hey, we can get Fast Passes on Space Mountain and Big Thunder Mountain at like 11 in the morning. You want to go to the Grand Floridian Cafe at 9 for breakfast and spend half the day? Yep, that's how we roll.
Which you may still be able to do, depending on how popular. You know, you may be able to just
right.
say, hey, I can get us into Epcot today. And then they're not doing Fast Passes, so you know you get on whatever attractions you want. Let's go up to Epcot, and then we can eat at, Ale and Compass for breakfast, and we'll go to Epcot.
Right.
So it may just be a little different, but still, you're going to have to obviously look at that the day of or the day before or the week before and see if you can get in. It will be interesting. I'm actually kind of curious how Universal is going to do with their reopening.
Mm-hmm.
And they're reopening their water park, aren't they?
I believe. I mean, Disney for sure isn't. They haven't said a damn thing about that.
No, they've been very quiet about that.
And that's another thing. You got the water parks. You know, I got the water parks in the park hopper.
Mm-hmm.
So what are they going to do to the price?
I don't foresee it going down necessarily. They may just give a credit to people or a gift card or something. Like, if they gave each AP holder a $150 Disney gift card or something, would that placate you?
That would be 1 month. No, I'd rather just not pay and not use it.
Yeah. But for each, so you're not paying that for each of your passes. That's total, right?
We pay about $70 a month per person, so about $1.40 a month.
Yeah, so if each of you got 150, that's $300 for each pass holder. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's not too bad. I don't know. I don't know what they'll do.
No, obviously, none of us right. do that. I mean, they haven't said anything about that.
I don't think they're going
to. And I'm
give
sure
money
they'll
back,
do the right.
But I'm sure they'll do it.
No, I think they will. They'll do the right thing. They're not. They can't charge you for the. Because then you just go downgrade it to the other pass.
Well, they're not going to. Oh, that's true. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, like I'm paying for the premium pass, so they can't charge the premium if they can't give it to you.
All right.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, I thought you meant just in general for the AP, but you're paying the extra whatever per month to get the water parks and more.
Yeah.
Which you can't use.
Which, if you can't use, then obviously then I just say the hell with it. I'll go down to the...
Downgrade to the next level down. I understand that.
Correct.
Yes. Okay. I misunderstood what you were saying initially.
Yeah, no, I think they're going to do the right thing. They always do. They don't rip you off. They charge premium.
I just don't think they're going to give money.
They're not out to get
money
you.
Back. They may just do discounts going forward or things like that. Well, you haven't been charged either, so you're not losing. You didn't lose out on any money, right?
No. They extended it. They froze payments. I actually renewed during the time that they closed.
Oh right,
so.
You said that. That was a weird thing. Like you had to renew, right?
Yeah, I actually had to renew. Yeah,
or you would have lost your discount, right?
And I would have lost my discount. Yeah.
They probably would have figured out a way to make an exception for that, but...
Yeah, they would make an exception. If I called the number, they would. I'm sure that they would. Yeah. But I just don't know with all the APs and people not being able to use it. I don't know how that's going to work. Mm.
And if someone said, like, well, I guess you could just stop paying and they just deactivate it too, right? Do they force you to pay for the full year? Like, if you stopped paying halfway through the year...
They'd probably just cancel it, although it was considered a contract.
That's what I wonder. I don't think they're going to be litigious.
So if I want to go back in a year, they might say, well, you violated your contract or whatever. I don't know.
I don't think they would do that. They may give people outs for this year. Like when they open and they say, okay, we're going to start charging everybody's annual pass, and then you could say, well, I'm not comfortable going for the next 6 months.
Yeah, I'm sure
they'll probably just let you cancel those last 6 months, especially Florida residents where they pay month to month.
Right.
It's harder if you paid already for the full year out of state. I don't know if they'll refund or give you a credit or pause it and they'll reactivate it like whenever you're ready to go back. I bet that's something they would do. Like if you're uncomfortable going, they'll just pause your annual pass. That's what they should do. I don't know if they will. It's probably the easiest thing to do is just to start everybody's clock ticking again the next time they use it. You know what I mean? If you had 4 months left on your AP,
and I don't use it until December, then
you could go
get my 4 months into 2021.
Yeah. I think that would be the easiest way for them to do it, since they already paused everything now anyway. They could just say, all right, you're reactivated the next time you use it to get in the parks. I think that would make everyone happy, I would think.
Yeah, sure. That would be fantastic.
Because you don't want to feel like you're forced, not forced to go, but like you're getting ripped off by not wanting to go during what's going on.
Right.
Like, well, I already paid for it. Now I got to try to use it in August when I don't feel really comfortable going. I don't know. I wonder. Well, that's going to be the most interesting part is the, I know you like that, like the business part of it, how they're going to make the money work and the customer service aspect, because the reopening thing, it makes sense. They didn't really have any other options how to do it. Their plan for reopening was the only plan what they're doing. You know what I mean? They couldn't just go and say, screw it. You know, we're going to go 100% capacity. People do whatever they want. We're just going back to normal. They had to do it this way. So there wasn't really a ton of mystery in their reopening plans. It's the other stuff that really interests me.
Yeah, I think that just the how they're going to handle AP or annual passes just is mind-boggling because I don't know.
It's very, a lot of question marks in that, definitely. Anything else you want to add here? Should we talk about anything else about the reopening? July 11th?
I don't know. Now, the other thing that I did hear is that they're going away from cash because they don't want many hand-to-hand transactions.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard somebody talking about that they were going to enhance the magic bands. Which means that I think they're going to let us somehow pay for stuff using our magic band.
Which you already could if you had a hotel reservation. You could charge it to the room.
Yeah, because it goes back to the room, and then at the end of your stay, you just pay up.
Settle up, yeah.
Your room, but you could never do it as an annual pass holder.
You couldn't link your credit card to your
you
magic
couldn't
band.
Link a credit card, which for that technology is mind-boggling, because the hardest thing to do is pay for something with cash, because you're emotionally attached to cash. Mm-hmm. Using a credit card or a debit card's easier, because you're not handing over the cash. But for crying out loud, your magic band's the easiest way to impulse buy, is it not?
Oh, definitely.
I'm flabbergasted that they haven't let everybody use their magic band.
Yeah, that is crazy, now that you say it. Yeah, and if you remember, Disney didn't even have the chip capabilities on their credit card machines.
Oh, forever.
They still didn't. Last time we went.
They still don't. No, they still don't. You have to wait for the green to blink like 3 times.
And a lot of places you have to hand it to them. At like the quick serves, they don't even have the machine in front of you. You hand it to the cashier and they swipe it for you, and they said they're gonna get rid of that too. Obviously handing over the credit cards, which makes sense.
Yeah, because I guess all the guests are gonna have to swipe their own credit cards.
Yeah, or use the magic, whatever they're gonna do. Yeah, they're gonna incorporate Apple Pay and Samsung and Google Pay, which obviously they didn't have capability of before. So basically they're gonna have to upgrade all their SIGCAP machines, which I can't even begin to guess how many they have across all their property.
Oh God,
those credit cards. How many? I mean, tens of thousands at Walt Disney World.
Has to be.
That's insane. Yeah.
I mean, just look at how many you have in each individual gift shop.
Right, and multiply that out. Each resort, even like the hotel check-in people have it, because you could pay right there with your credit card, even though those don't get used that much, but they have them there. Like the recreation places, every little kiosk, every bar.
All your concierge people have them with their ones. iPads. Yeah. iPods, iPads.
It could
rather.
Be 100,000 point-of-sale machines at Walt Disney World when you break it down. Could be close to 6 figures. Which is insane. Anyway.
Yeah, it is.
Again, that's something that I don't know that we'll ever
but
find
that
out.
All needs, that's needed to be upgraded years
oh,
ago.
Oh, yeah. And now this is just going to be the reason they do it. I don't know. All right, I don't have anything else. We'll take another break here, and we'll come and wrap everything up. Episode 325 is in the books. We talked about the reopening plans for Walt Disney World July 11th, July 15th. Epcot, Hollywood Studios getting the second phase of the reopening. Not sure what the 4 days is really going to do. That didn't really make sense that they wouldn't just do
it. No, it didn't make sense to me either.
I could see if they only did just AP holders for the first 4 days and then whatever they wanted to do, or vice versa, something else, but whatever. Maybe just for bringing cast members back. Just those purposes. And they kicked out all the international cast members. What are they going to do in World Showcase? Who's going to work there?
Yeah, no kidding.
You.
That's going to be great, isn't it?
You go to Teppanito and you got some white kid
from
Nebraska.
You have Vinny Boombats. Hey, how you doing?
I don't think Teppanito is going to be open anytime soon with the style of restaurant that is. Anyway, but yeah, it's going to be very strange in World Showcase. What do you got going on the old YouTube? Anything?
Speaking of Tepanito, that's up.
Oh, very nice. Is that brand new? I thought.
Yeah, I'm finished editing, but it'll be up when this is released.
Oh, beautiful.
So.
Love it.
That's up.
Tepanito review.
With the Willings.
Oh, that's the Willings one. Okay, so there's some
Willings,
good stuff in there.
Got some wrap-up from Mr. Marshall.
Oh, good. It's good to get the child's perspective on those kind of things because, you know.
Absolutely.
They have very different tastes than you and I. Although he's a pretty adventurous eater from what I think Doug was saying, right?
Yeah, he can hang.
He hangs. He likes his
steak.
My
man can hang. Oh, yeah.
He's not like a chicken nugget mac and cheese kid.
No, he hangs.
Yeah, good.
He trust me, he hangs.
Good.
He'll be on the Jammin's trip.
A couple
in
of
a
years,
few years,
yeah, a couple of Bud
hopefully.
Lights. All right, well, that's good. We get that. Go to YouTube.com, search for WDW Beyond the Gates. You can do the same thing. Search for WDW Beyond the Gates on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, wherever you find podcasts, just search for us there. Our website is WDWBTG.com. You can find us on social media, Instagram, Twitter and Facebook at WDWBTG. What else? Email info at WDWBTG.com, Gary at WDWBTG.com, and Mike at WDWBTG.com. Am I forgetting anything, sir?
No, you got everything.
Nailed it, huh?
You always nail it.
I do. I'm a seasoned professional.
So I was gonna throw a tease out there, and I hate to put you on the spot.
Yeah, this is news to me.
I have something. How about if we tease next week's show with what we're going
to
talk about?
That'd be great because I'd love to know.
I posed this question in the pool. Very, very, very difficult question. Because I'm always, I'm always thinking about Disney and food.
Sure.
And this and that. I asked Kristen. I said, Monday through Sunday, you could only have one meal. So you could have seven separate meals.
Yes.
But it could be whatever you wanted. Would you do that? And she's like, tell me more. So I'm like, all right, so instance, Wednesday could be like chicken parmesan or veal parmesan. Friday's our steak.
Oh,
night.
Wait, hold on. So you can have one food, but you can eat it as much as you want that day.
No, you can just for dinner.
You only get one meal per day.
Per day. So you're the rest of your life, you're only having seven.
Oh, okay.
And it's going to be the same thing.
Every Friday for the rest of your life, you're having...
You could mix it up. You could have steak day on Monday. You're picking seven meals.
Wow.
And you're having that every single day, but it can be from whatever restaurant, your favorite one. Would you take that deal?
No, I don't think I
could. My answer was yes.
I don't think I could take that deal. So you're can I say Chinese food and then have any kind of Chinese food on Wednesday that I want? Like, I could get egg foo young one day and get General Tso's chicken another time and get boneless spare ribs another time.
Yeah, I mean, we could do it that way.
So that changes things. I can say I want Italian Monday, steak on Tuesday, Chinese food on Wednesday, Mexican on Thursday.
No, you can't.
It's too broad,
no,
you can't do it like
it's
that.
It's too broad, yeah.
So are we going to make it Disney-fied and say which entree at which restaurant each day?
Each day. How's that sound?
All right.
You up for that challenge?
That's a tough one. I'm up for it. I'll make it happen.
Because the answer, for me, yes.
I wouldn't do it. I'm telling you right now, I would not take the deal.
You would not, because you like the variety.
I like the variety.
Keep in mind, though, Billy, keep in mind, you could have a burger for lunch on Wednesday.
What? I don't understand. I don't think I understand your premise at all here, then. I'm very
confused.
We're
just talking dinner. We're talking dinner. You know what dinner is? Dinner's not
breakfast. Oh, so it's not one meal. It's just only dinner you're having at those.
Only dinner.
Oh, yeah. I take that deal in a heartbeat, then.
So if you want Mugu Gai Pan, you can have that for lunch on Wednesday.
Oh, I could go out for my lunch break at work, and I can get whatever Chinese food I want, but then every Monday I'm having a filet from Yachtsman for dinner.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay, that's a
I'm
lot
sorry,
easier.
I guess I didn't clarify it.
So I thought you meant you only got to eat once per day.
No.
Because that was
we
one of the big reasons
that.
I didn't want to do it. Okay, yeah, no, all right, that changes things. I would take this deal, and now I'm very looking forward to...
Fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good one.
We got our people thinking all about it for the week.
Beautiful.
By the way, when you hear this, go out to our social media, please, and tell us what your meals would
be. Yeah, where would you go? Monday? Well, every day, 7 days of the week. Pick your days, pick your restaurants, and what you would get there. at Disney and even off property. If you have like a special, like a Manny's Chop Absolutely. House, if you really
throw a Twin Oaks.
Oh, I was thinking just like Orlando proper, but I guess we could do anything.
Oh yeah, okay.
All right, well that sounds good. I'm looking forward to that now. Mm-hmm. I like how you spring this on me here. I could always edit it out, I guess, isn't it? But I'm not going to. All right.
No, that's what we could do. Just throw a tease out at the end. Now we're planning. Now we got a week.
Yeah, exactly. Except we have to.
What do you want
to
talk about tomorrow, Pat?
We have to follow through on those plans, though. Once we say it, it has to be done. We also have to think about it ahead of time.
Yes, we do.
Usually we don't know what we're doing for the current week. Now you want us to know what we're doing for the following week as well.
That's difficult, isn't it?
Very difficult. You're making this a lot more work. That's okay. We're up for the challenge. All right, that's going to do it for episode number 325 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with Mike and Gary. For my co-host Mike down in sunny Southwest Florida, my name is Gary. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you again next
now
week.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company. M-I-C.
See you real soon.
K-E-Y.
Why? Because we like you.
Yeah.